A reading from the book of Isaiah. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze their young, and their young shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. A reading from the letter to the Ephesians. With all wisdom and insight, God has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of Bethlehem, of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver the child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and they were terrified, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, The shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The Gospel of Christ.
When I say the phrase celebrating Christmas, what comes to your mind? Is it the break from work and school? Or like Jora told me, time to study for finals? Is it a chance for outdoor winter activities? Maybe it's bright lights, shiny colors and cheery music, sharing with family and friends, seeing little kids so excited and joyous. And then again, maybe instead you think of the headache of gift giving and baking and cooking and cleaning and decorating and shopping and all the traffic, and you already feel exhausted. Maybe you think Christmas is overdone, that it's become a season of greed and overindulgence, producing stress and financial expense. When we come together on Christmas Eve, the business of preparing for Christmas is done. The gifts have been made or bought. The wrapping is finished. The house is all decorated inside and out. The baking is done, the food and the drinks have been stocked. And it's probably safe to say that if something isn't done by now, it's not going to get done. So I invite you to relax. We take time now to pause before the busyness and sometimes chaos of Christmas Day that falls upon us tomorrow morning when we get up. Christmas Eve is like the calm before the storm. The preparations are all done, and now we wait. I'm assuming you are here tonight because your faith plays some role in your celebrations of Christmas. Your expression of Christmas involves gathering with your church family to remember the coming of the Christ child all those years ago. They say poets express the hopes and dreams of a society. And if we think about the songs and the literature, the TV and the movies of Christmas, even the cheesy Hallmark ones, we see common themes. These artistic expressions capture what might be called the spirit of Christmas. Under the influence of this Christmas spirit, society transforms into something different than it usually is. People become softer and kinder, more generous and more forgiving. And we often find expression in the phrase, "Oh, come on, it's Christmas." And what do we mean by that? These words are a call to loosen up, be gracious, exercise charity, go out of your way to share or help or forgive. They're a call to bite our tongue and hold our peace when what we would say is rather unpleasant. It's a call to be civil. We are more likely to excuse the driver who cuts us off, or the one who steals our parking space at the mall, or the person who cuts in line at the checkout at Christmas time than other times of the year. Normally, someone doing something like that would leave us shocked or angry, maybe both, and possibly looking for revenge. But at Christmas, we just shrug it off. We choose to let it go. We might say something, but we say it gently, not with harsh words to the offender. So what makes Christmas the only time of the year when we go out of our way to be kind to friend and stranger alike? I would suggest that Christmas is a time when we are touched by the better angels of our nature. U.S. President Abraham Lincoln used this phrase, the better angels of our nature, in his first inaugural address just months before the American Civil War broke out. It expressed his hope that the country would be able to set aside its differences and come together. He was calling for the country to remain calm and deliberate in the face of rising tensions between different parts of the country. Nowadays, the phrase, the better angels of our nature, is often used to describe when someone or something inspires people to go beyond what is natural or easy. And I propose that Christmas time does this for our society. It calls on us to create the type of society we want to live in, where people rise above their self-absorption to notice strangers, to lend a hand, to give generously of what they have to those that don't have, to absorb hurts directed towards us graciously, and to let go of any thoughts of revenge, to hold back unkind words when we might otherwise say them, to think twice before speaking. And I have found it's a time when we speak tenderly to our loved ones and put into words what we usually leave unspoken the rest of the year. Acting this way during this time of year is also an admission that life in our society is not like this the rest of the year. And some put this admission into words. I saw a meme where Charlie Brown and Linus were saying out loud to each other, why can't we have Christmas all year long instead of just at Christmas? They wonder why we only rise to being our best at one time of year. Practically, it could lie in the cycles of nature. The days are getting shorter, the nights are longer, the weather is getting colder, travel is harder and more unpredictable. What may have begun as a pagan ritual to make sure the sun did not die, but revived, has become a way to mark the turn of the year, the beginning of the end for the long nights and cold weather. The days, well, short now, are starting to get longer, and we know the temperatures will rise. And we recognize that the landscape out there that looks so dead right now is only dormant and will spring forth again in leaf and flower. The coming of the Christ child, the living God embodied in a baby as a member of the human race, makes Christmas more than recognition of natural cycles of light and dark, dormancy and growth. In the Hebrew Bible, we read how the Israelite people were given instructions on how to live as a society ruled by the living God. They experienced dazzling victories, escape from Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, entering Canaan under Joshua, expanding to be a great unified nation under King David. But these victories alternated with devastating defeats. They refused to enter the promised land the first time because they were afraid of the people. When they were established, they started to introduce worship of foreign gods. And they would even sacrifice their children to these foreign gods. The law of Moses had specific instructions to ensure the poor were provided for and that all received justice in court, and that people did not exploit their neighbors or steal the land of widows. But these instructions became old-fashioned, and they fell out of practice. Eventually, the people of Israel were conquered and taken away into exile. And even when they returned a few generations later, they never really had self-determination in their own country again. But the prophets of God, through all this time, spoke of a time when things would be different, that relief would come. Our first reading from the prophet Isaiah spoke of someone equipped with the Spirit of God, who would exercise strong leadership and wise judgment. This person would not be limited by what they could see or hear when they were exercising justice. Our court cases are limited to what is seen and what is heard. How the defendant presents himself or how eloquent the prosecutor is can open the proceedings to manipulate the jury and the judge, pulling on heartstrings. But Isaiah describes something different. This person to come would ensure that true justice is done, and that it is done consistently, and it won't depend on how things are presented in court. And how will this person do this? Bigger armies? Better economy? Stronger threats? No, with words. The text says, the rod of his mouth, the breath of his lips. By speaking and ensuring that right is done consistently and faithfully, this person will see justice prevail and the power of wickedness broken. As Christians, we see the coming of this promised deliverer in the birth of the baby Jesus. The instructions of God received through Moses, I like to think of them as God's words of life. They were implemented by the Israelites, but in a fragmented and intermittent way. But now, with this new baby, God's way and words of life would be embodied in a person. In addition to being told how to live God's way, we would have an example in front of us of one of our own, a man, living God's way. And the prophets say the results would be unbelievable. Donna read for us, the wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard with the young goat. And whether this is meant literally or not is not the point. The point is that such behavior is beyond our experience. It smacks of the impossible. The strong resting beside the weak, and everybody is safe. The powerful at peace with the vulnerable. It's like saying the leaders of Canada Mortgage and Housing will sit down to eat with the homeless. The CEOs of the largest companies in Canada will mingle with the unemployed. And bankers will hang out with the bankrupt. And we long for such a society where there will be no exploitation or trafficking of individuals, no domestic abuse, where everyone has what they need, and where generosity is not suspicious. What do you want from me? Why are you doing that for me? A society where there is no fear of break-in or assault, that road rage is not a thing, and employees don't go postal, kids don't bully other kids, and weapons don't find their way into our schools. Christmas is a time we practice creating such a society where strangers are greeted with a smile or hello, where people are provided with food to eat and warm clothes to wear, family members for a few days, maybe a few hours, stop arguing, neighbors visit and talk together. The Christ came as Jesus to show us how to live a better, more balanced and wholesome life, how to create a respectful, kind, and generous society. We are promised God's help to live beyond our fear of tomorrow or of uncertainty or of not having enough or of being taken advantage of. Whatever is holding us back from living all year like we do at Christmas, is what Jesus came to deliver us from. The Spirit of Christ working in us can make the spirit of Christmas a more frequent and even regular presence in our society. We want more Christmas. We need more Christmas. In our gospel reading, the angels told the shepherds that Jesus' birth was the birth of the promised one, of the promised deliverer, and that that was good news for all people. Then the shepherds do a little huddle and decide they were going to leave their flocks and check out what the angel had announced. Like the shepherds, I propose we make a move to check out this thing that God has initiated with Christ, the living God present in human form, and the promise of peace and goodwill. Jesus grew up and showed us how to live, doing what is right, acting justly, walking humbly, and exercising forgiveness. And God is not asking anything of us that Jesus did not do himself. Jesus, the Word of God, the instructions of God, come in the flesh. Jesus showed us a better way to live and promised his Spirit to help us follow in his footsteps. The promise is not that life will be all roses and sunshine, but that life will be purposeful and satisfying. We have a built-in expectation of a better society. We hope for Christmas cheer that lasts beyond New Year's. When nature is dark and cold and everything seems to be dead, we celebrate the coming of more light, warmer weather, and another growing season. In a similar way, when society is grim, full of anger and strife, violence and wars, where governments topple, economies struggle, food is expensive and housing almost impossible to find, and even the climate seems to be against us, we can choose to be hopeful anyway, hopeful and not despairing. We can choose to live all year as Jesus taught us, being kind and forgiving, welcoming, helpful, and generous, all the while believing that someday society will be completely transformed to the one we try to live at Christmas time. Amen.